Think I'm more to try. Mark, why don't you open up and start? You haven't got anything else yet.
Holy Father, we come before you tonight. In the name of your Son, our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Father, we thank you, God, for everything, Lord. Father, that we not only, Father, know you, but Father, through your love and through your ministry and through the great mercy and the great grace, Father, you have brought us from what we were to what we are now.
Yes, Lord.
And Father, you are going to bring us even farther. Father, help us to trust you day by day, hour by hour, Lord. Father, give us the spiritual understanding and the spiritual wisdom. Father, to just know you do have good things for us. Father, we thank you for the gifts that you've given today for Dad's computer and all these things. And we thank you even more that we can gather. And right now, tonight, just us here. Father, not only a ministry, Lord, but a family.
Mm-hmm.
Father, thank you for all this, God. And we ask for the anointing to be upon the service.
Mm-hmm.
Father, we ask for your word, God. Father, we ask for the discernment to grasp it, to hold on to it, God, the revelation to be enlightened. Father, we pray that you be with David and Raph and everyone else, Lord. Father, no matter what part of the planet they're on, and bless them this thing. And watch over them, God, and lead them. Father, open their eyes to your perfect will and perfect plan. Father, in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Mm-hmm.
We do thank God that we're not what we were. What a change. What a change the Lord has wrought in each one of our lives. I think back to that glorious day.
Your turn, God.
So the first song the Lord gave me tonight was...
What?
Was, He gave me beauty for ashes.
Yes.
We are...
How appropriate is that?
Yes, yes, Lord.
Thank you, Jesus.
He gave me
beauty for ashes, your love's joy for mourning, your ornament of praise, for the spirit of heaviness, that we might be trees of righteousness, planted in the heart of the Lord, that we might be the Lord.
All those things that he would be glorified. that he is the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Great name.
All hail King Jesus.
Filled to the brim for every moment of eternity with as much joy, peace, love, revelation of God. But now is the time, right now, that He's given us to be molded and be shaped by His Spirit into what He's created us. Have I no
Christ is Lord.
Amen. And He is Lord.
Shows that every living thing shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Every living thing. If every blade of grass, every leaf that's hanging on the tree, so that sapling through, every tree, that's every flower, it's every bird, every animal, every living thing shall confess at one time that Jesus Christ. I have a hunch that the bowels of hell will shake violently in that moment. Thank God we're not going to be there to see it. Mm-hmm. You know, it's hard not to get tears in your eyes when you think of what you were. You just let that thought run through your mind for a few minutes. Not who you were, but what you were. The sense of person, the silence, the hatred, the bitterness, the lust, the pride, the resentment. It wasn't a good thing. At least in me, there wasn't one good thing in there, nothing. And then, in the midst of all that hate, the drunkenness and everything else, the Lord comes along to give you a new life. And it comes with those words that taught you so much, and especially at that time, that you don't even understand them really. It comes and it says, I love you. What an awful time. Every saved person that genuinely saved has heard those words from the Lord. I know people who have had an encounter with God and walked in that for many, many years until something else happened. And then they actually heard those words. What a powerful thing that is. But your life absolutely has to change if you accept those words. If you have something into your spirit, your life will change instantaneously. You'll never be the same again. You'll never have the same ideas again. You'll never have the same desires again. You'll never do the same things again. I remember, like it was 5 minutes ago, doesn't happen to me. And I heard those words. I was a person who never, ever cried. I mean, you could beat me to a pulp, I would cry. I wouldn't give anybody a satisfaction to cry. And that went on for so long, it was impossible to cry. I don't care what happened, it wasn't sad enough for me to cry. And until the night came that I heard those three words, and then I couldn't stop crying. I tried to stop, but it was like the dam broke, rain just pouring it out. That went on for so long. I didn't believe a person could cry that long without running out of tears or running out of water or something. I mean, it went on night and day, 24 hours a day, never stopped. For at least 3 or 4 weeks, night and day, it never stopped. Talk about how powerful an experience can be, or how powerful words can be. When you hear those words from God, for one thing, you know with everything within you, that's the truth. You may have had a lot of people tell you things about you, but you never believed any of them. But when the God of all creation gets your attention and says those three words to you, I personally believe that that is the beginning of salvation. Is there anybody here that's never heard those three words from the Lord? Good. That absolutely clarifies that you're all saved. You can have an experience with God, and you can walk with God for many, many years. And never hear those words. I remember the night that the Lord gave my wife a vision. And in that vision, and that's when, I don't know if it was the first time or not, but that's when he spoke those three words to us. Was that the first time? As far as I'm concerned, that's when she genuinely, actually, got saved. I can tell you honestly, because I've asked a lot of people, and like multitudes, more than you would care to admit, of people who claim to be Christian, claim to walk with God, but never heard them words from God. Never had the Lord speak that to them. And it's of priority importance, it's an absolute necessity, it has to happen. It has take place. I would urge anybody that's never heard them once, I mean seriously, if it was me and I had never heard them, I would quit my job. I would quit eating. I would quit whatever I was doing. I would find a place where I could pray, and I would get a hold of God, or I would die. One or the other. And when I got a hold of the Lord, and He spoke that to me, and I was younger. Next I know. Normally, it happens right at the time of your personal encounter with God. Some people, I don't know why, they have to struggle with it for years and years. As Kathy did, until one day the Lord took it. I don't know if the weight is because we're too stubborn to give in. Maybe we're not in a place where we can believe the words. Or maybe we don't want it bad enough. I don't know. I know I was ready. Like immediately. And I think because of that reason God said it immediately. But I don't think a person's life changes because they go to a prayer meeting or because they say the sinner's prayer or because they do their good thing and go to church. I don't believe any of that makes any difference unless they hear those words from Jesus Himself. Whether they leap off a page to you, whether God speaks to you in an audible voice, it doesn't make any difference because you know that you know when God has spoken to you, that it could be no one else. And I don't imagine everybody reacts the same. And that's probably a good thing. If they did, they'd have a world full of crybabies. I know, like I said, once I started to cry, once that dam broke, there wasn't any stopping it. But I found another thing that happens because of it. As I was going through the time of crying, I noticed that not only the tears were coming out, but along with the tears, there came out all the bitterness I ever had for anybody. Any unforgiveness that was there, any hatred. All of that came out with the tears. After about 3 weeks, I was literally free of all that stuff. And I was almost like weightless. Because I hadn't realized how much sin weighed. I mean, actually weighed the heaviness of it pushing you down. And once you become free, you can almost fly. You can almost be like the birds. There was a freedom. That comes no other way. The only way you're ever going to feel that freedom is genuinely saved and to hear those words. And it's not because I walk with God. I have never heard that minister now. And that surprises me. And I wonder if sometimes the people on a ministry have never heard those words. I think, unfortunately, it's true in a lot of cases. I know I'm not going to talk about those three words, but thinking now I'm saying, I don't remember what, but it brought me back to that day and the power of those words. I think to know that you are loved. To know that you are loved by God makes all the difference in the world. It makes all the difference in faith. It makes all the difference in prayer. It makes all the difference in your outlook on life. It makes all the difference on how you react to things. That knowledge that a God who cannot lie has personally spoken to you and said, I love you. And they say that makes all the difference. That drives away all fear. For the Word of God said, perfect love casteth out all fear. All fear. Never again fearful of standing up in front of an audience and sharing Jesus with them. You're never fearful of what the devil's going to do. You just don't care anymore. And you find that all of the things you were so fearful of before aren't there anymore. And you find they never come back. You're free from or ever. But I think once in a while we need to stop and remind ourselves of those three words. Meditate on it, need be. Realize that if God loves me, who can possibly be against me? If God loves me, what harm can possibly come to me? For if God loves me, only that which he lifts his hand and allows is going to come near me. And that I know is going to be for my own good. Mm-hmm. I know it's because he loves me that it's happening. And thereafter you're in a state of perfect peace 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. It's not that God will love you after you get things right and after you do certain things and after you go to church and get a haircut and all that other stuff. It has, in fact, nothing to do with any of that. Because remember, God speaks it to you the first thing, the very first thing. And you're still sliding. You're still coding in sin. You've still got the mind of the world. You've still got a mind filled with lust and greed and selfishness and pride. And God comes in the midst of that. In the midst of all the ugliness you can imagine. And says, I love you.
You know, that's from backtracking on. Whatever happens to you is happening by the will of God. You will never worry about it again. You'll never be afraid again. I've run into so many people over the years that are so afraid of the move of God in their life, like He's going to take something from them or make them do something they don't want to do. And if you know, and you know because God said, if He can't lie, you're not lying. That's another thing. When the Lord spoke those words, I had never read the scripture about He's God who cannot lie. But I knew absolutely, I knew it. Because somehow that revelation, that understanding was wrapped up in those words. I knew God could not lie. I knew that He loved me then, not later. I knew that He loved me just the way I was. There were things in my life He wanted to change, obviously, but He still loved me. Just for being me. You know, personally, I had never experienced that. I never even experienced worldly love, much less this love. This love that I understood from that night on. You should say I hadn't read the scriptures and never read the Bible in my life. But in those three words were many, many revelations, one of which was that the Lord loved me just the way I was, without any conditions. Unconditional love. I know in my case, it was a very hard thing to deal with. Unconditional love. Any human can love you conditionally if you do certain things, say certain things, act a certain way. But to understand, to have that revelation given to you at that early stage, was beyond what I think any human could hold in. And as I say, it just started to pour out. He didn't lie. And it was unconditional. And the other thing, and I knew it, it was permanent. It would never change. You think about it in your own case. Think about the day you heard those words from the Lord. And if He loved you then, how much more
love you today. Because I knew they'd have been running away from them. Now we screw up and make mistakes, but we're trying to serve him. In spite of ourselves, we do love him as much as we know how to love. That is a long way to waste his affection, but nonetheless we try. Another revelation that came with those three words. It's amazing how much revelation and how much wisdom came with those three words, and I absolutely understood it. I don't know how God does it, but it was all in there somewhere. That I knew that love would never, ever fail. Love in the world fails, dependent on what you do or don't do. But the love of God never varies, never moves one way or the other. It's as powerful as it can get on day one, and it stays there. It never lasts. So, if in fact we've heard those words and we believe those words, what can we possibly have fear of anything? But much more than that, how can we possibly sin against him who loves us that much? It makes it rather impossible. I think very often we should stop and think about that. Think about the simple fact that he loves us. Remember back to when we first heard those words, where we were at, what we were doing. The truth is, not many of us were noble or filled with good works of high quality. Most of us were the scum of the earth, the rich class, and that's a society throws away. But God kept us. If he can love me, he can love anybody. And when I look out on the church of today and the people in the church, I see so many who are honestly, earnestly trying to do a work for God, which they don't need to do. Trying to accomplish something in God for all the wrong reasons. And unfortunately, we find very few who are at total peace and can sit back and rest and have that peace which God speaks about that surpasses all understanding. In the midst of the storm, in the midst of the tempest, to never worry. And people say that's crazy, that's foolish. And I say maybe, but then, I know something you don't. I know God loves me. But apparently you don't, or you wouldn't be worried. Everything in our life, in that second hour, is dependent, pivotal, goes back, and then one simple core belief that he loves us. You can do the greatest things for God and build all the orphanages and start Bible schools and do a multitude of things. That isn't going to make them love you anymore. It isn't going to make them love you any less. If he's called you to do it, and you're doing it in his love, that's fantastic. But if you're trying to gain his love, or if you're trying to gain that peace and that serenity, then I feel sorry for those people, because I know they've never heard those three words. They don't know with everything within them that God loves them. That is so simple, and yet so very, very difficult. But this I know, that unless you come to that point at some time, you're not going to make it. We do not survive through our will, through our meditation, through our good intentions, or through our prayers, but rather we survive the hard times in life. We survive the testing and tribulation. We survive those things because we know absolutely without doubt that God loves us. I know that he's watching over me. I know that nothing bad is going to happen to me. I know that everything is ordained of God. And I can rejoice in that day and night. I can take my peace. I can take my security. My salvation is all in that one simple fact that God loves me. Nothing will ever be too hard because he loves me. Irregardless of what happens, I may not understand it, but I know that God does. And I know that he's allowing it, because it's good for me somehow. I may not see it at the time. I may not ever see it until I get to be with the Lord. But it's there, because he loves me. I used to wonder if everybody got that revelation when they were saved. And for many, many years I wondered about it, because I've seen the way people acted. I've seen the sin in their life. I watched the hatred, the pride, the selfishness, the adultery, whatever. And I thought they must not know. They cannot know. For you cannot know to do those things. It's just impossible. It doesn't work. It won't fly. But I settled on the fact that they didn't know. And I realized that things were so much easier to understand them, because I could say to myself, they don't know, that's what it is. And I could pray as Jesus prayed, and I could mean it from the depths of my spirit. Lord, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And I knew it was true because I didn't know that God. They would have never done those things had they known that God loved them. Never happened. You can't reach out and try someone else when you know that God loves you. And he loves men. It changes the entire world. And it will never be the same again. But even with those words, and even with all the revelation that comes with those words, the understanding that comes with them, a multitude of people have chosen not to believe them. Or that they think they can get something better. What better could you get than the God of all creation, the Lord of the universe? He who died for your sins to come and love you. It just doesn't get any better. And you know absolutely that you don't deserve it. You absolutely don't deserve it. And yet it's free. And it's unconditional. And it's not because you said the sinner's prayer. It's because God spoke and you listened. It's that simple. And I think once you have that powerful of an experience with God, I think any time God speaks thereafter, you're going to listen. You're never going to forget how powerful it was the first time. And you're going to want to hear every single thing that God says thereafter. Whether it's good or bad, you're going to want to hear it. Because you know that it too will be a life-changing situation to you. So often in the Word of God, it speaks about how His Word or words will guide us and direct us and be a lamp unto our feet. All of these things. But first, you've got to want to hear His Word. And you've got to want to believe His Word. I have had, in the way of a personal testimony, I have had so many prayers answered this week. I couldn't begin to tell you. I couldn't even begin. There have been so many. It's so rapid. It's almost been like the chains on fire. And in everything I prayed about, the Lord said, I've heard you, and you shall receive. Many times when you pray, God will say, no, or wait a while. It happened to be one of those times when there wasn't any noise. When there wasn't any, wait a while. They all came to pass. So, if I got into a list of how many prayers God has answered for me, I honestly don't think you would believe them all. Every one of them has been a supernatural miracle as far as I'm concerned. Because I didn't tell anybody else what I was praying for. I told only the Lord. And that's all you have to tell, by the way. You don't have to tell anybody else. God knows. He's even answered some prayers for me that he said wouldn't be filled for a short time yet, but they would be filled in this time, and it's yet a time, and that they would be filled exactly how I've requested it. But that's all that is because he loves me. In 38 years, I've never even been able to comprehend, to understand, to fully grasp that kind of love. Unconditional, forgiving, merciful love. I've had the privilege of seeing love. I've seen love, and I can only describe it as a liquid light, a light brighter than you have ever seen on earth and never will see on earth. And it's liquid. It flows like a river around you and through you, in you and above you and all over. It saturates you until you radiate from within. That is a description, an actual description of the love of God, a real description of it. Because I've been there and I've seen it, I've been flooded with it. But I don't begin to comprehend it. I don't begin to understand it. And why it should flow to me. I have no idea. But what's important is that I believe with everything within me that it does. If someone loves you that much, you're not going to be afraid to speak about that person to anybody. You're going to want everybody to share their love that you have. You're not going to be stingy or selfish. And you're going to ask the Lord for whatever it is that you have in need. God created us, the Word of God says, for fellowship. It is the only reason we live, that we breathe, that we take in air, that we stay alive. He created us for fellowship. And I wonder how many people give God over 10 minutes a day of fellowship. And most of that isn't fellowship, it's begging. Fellowship is two people who love each other, commune with one another. Sometimes it's not even necessary that you speak. Sometimes it's only necessary that you embrace. And that you look with awe and wonder and worship. And you allow that love that he spoke about so long ago to flow so freely through you. I had a lot of scriptures here that I wasn't going to share with you tonight. And they were all to do with prayer, because God has dealt so heavily with me on prayer. The last 8 weeks, I guess. And I really do want to share them with you, but for tonight, I want to share only this. That if that love I talked about is real, like I say, all fear will be gone, and you will come to him, any wells to him, with any wells tossing him. If you bring up those things in this life, this world that you have a need of, and God will answer you. Absolutely. So many people don't get their prayers answered, and they think that's the way it's supposed to work. I'm here to tell you that's not the way it's supposed to work. God says that he will answer you. The same God who cannot lie says that he will answer you. He will say to you yes or no, or wait a while. But the answer is going to be there. And if you don't have the answer, there's something wrong with your prayer life. That was what I really originally was going to talk about tonight. But, as usual, before I turned around to what he wanted to talk about, and I'm blessed tremendously that he did.
Yeah, thank you.
But there is a reason you don't get answers. In all probability, most of the time, 99% of the time, it's because you do not spend that time with God that you need to. You, the prophets of old, prayed night and day without ceasing. They prayed and worshiped the Lord. Not because they didn't have anything else to do. They had sheep to tend to, take care of. They had jobs to go to, which they went to. But they didn't stop communing with the Lord because of that. And the New Testament says, again, that we are to pray without ceasing. I shared this before, and I'll share it again because it's so very important. I remember one time many, many years ago, right after Kathy and I first met the Lord, I was reading a thing by David Wilkerson one day, and he was talking about the heart of God and how to get to the heart of God. And I thought, I'm going to try that. And if he's truthful and honest, I will get to the heart of God. And if he's not, I'll know he's a phony. But I found that he wasn't a phony. That it absolutely worked. You could get to the heart of God. You could see things from the heart of God. You could understand things from the heart of God. And you had the discernment that you needed to be kept safe here on earth. And I thought at that time that God gave that discernment to everybody. I've learned since then it's not necessarily true. But he does give it to somebody in that body to protect that body. The problem is, normally that body doesn't pay any attention to it. And that must be an insult to God. I had only a scripture I was going to share with me on prayer, what the necessity of prayer is, how we are to pray. There are a couple of different ways to pray. Obviously there's the worldly things you have in need of. But then there's that time of being intimate with God, of communing with God on a one-to-one basis, and worshiping the Lord, and meditating upon the Lord. And those are the times that matter. Those are the times that count. Those are the times that, whether it's normal for you or not, I guarantee you, you will weep before God. Those are the times when the sin of this world will become so very real, so very painful, that you will weep from a broken heart, that you will cry out to God in a new way, to people you know and people you don't know, for God to reveal His mercy and His love to all mankind. But it's only when we can get enough people involved in that infinite time of fellowship with God Himself, who really want to know the heart of God, who really want to be full of God. That's the only time that's going to work. It's hard enough to find one person to pray with you that is really going to pray. Much less a whole group, I find it almost an impossibility. After 5 minutes, they're twitching and moving here and there and thinking a dozen other things. It's difficult, but not impossible, to stay in that kind of prayer with most people. Hopefully everybody has someone, husband, wife, brother or sister, that they can pray with, that they can get in to that type of prayer. Remember, in that type of prayer, you're not asking for anything. It's not a time of petition. It's a time of communion with the heart of God. And I'll leave you with this. If you want to know the glory of God, if you want to know the broken heart of God, you have only to do those things which the Word tells you to do in prayer. And God, you cannot lie. Will reach out His arms and He will draw you into His heart in a way that you can't explain. You can't share it with anybody. It's a supernatural thing that God does. But I guarantee you it will happen. You'll have no doubt about it, or where you are, or what's going on. Because remember, He is a God who cannot lie. And He is a God who wants to do this. He wants to do it. He wants to bring you in. Because He loves you. And if you believe that at all, if you believe that God loves you, you will want to draw that close to Him. You will want to be in the heart of God. It is possible. And it's not difficult. If you want it, you can do it. And maybe the next time you meet him, you know, it's my turn again. I'd like to share all the scriptures on prayer and how to do it. But tonight, it's not for me. Mark, you want to take us all up?
Hears this word, Lord, whether it be in this room or be elsewhere, God. Lord, you would implant it in our hearts to understand what you're speaking. Father, powerful, all those that have not heard those three words. God, that they would drop what they're doing to seek your face. Father, for us that have, and those that have, God, that we would remember what's truly important. What's really what it's about. Father, thank you, God, for this ministry, God, and this time and the anointing of your Spirit. Father, I ask not that it lift, but how we would carry it within us. Father, that we would seek your face. Father, in Jesus' name.